The Landless heißt die Podcast-Idee, die wir euch hier schon mal im Rahmen meines Beitrages vorgestellt hatten. Im Prinzip geht's um die Familiengeschichte des Künstlers Michael Wisniewski, dessen Namen man übrigens mittlerweile Michael Wisniewski ausspricht. Er thematisiert und analysiert im crowdgefundeten Podcast-Format das Thema Flucht, indem er nochmal auf die Historie seiner eigenen Familie zurückblickt, auf die lange und beschwerliche Flucht aus dem kommunistischen Polen der 80er Jahre und all die Zwischenstationen, die den Weg nach Amerika säumten. Eine durchaus schicksalshafte Wendung nahm die Geschichte übrigens hier in Berlin und deswegen ist er jetzt auch hier in der Stadt. Michael Wisniewski ist im Studio. Herzlich willkommen. Hello.
Thank you. Hi.
I just tried to pronounce your name in two different ways. One which was supposed to be the Polish way of saying it and now the American way of pronouncing it. Wisniewski.
Yeah, I have to say it differently in every country. So, you know, it's a little easier for people.
It's nice though.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a name that sounds good in different languages. So I've tried to sum up the story of your family in those few words that you've just heard in German. But please tell us a little bit about the story itself before we look at the podcast that you want to do about the story. You're living in the Bay Area now.
That's right.
You're coming from a family with Polish roots, and your mother took you from communist Poland when you were a really, really small kid, you and your sister.
Yes,
with
yes.
Three people escaping Poland, and then finally you made it to the United States.
Yeah, it was a long road, but we started in Poland, and we tried to get out more than once, but it was around 85. Mm-hmm. And we first went to Denmark, tried to get asylum there, and were denied, so we fled without papers to Norway and stayed there for a short time, about a month in Larvik, and then we were deported from there as well. We were denied asylum also. And so they deported us back to Denmark. Denmark then deported us through East Germany, supposedly to Poland.
Uh-huh.
But someone gave us information about the way the trains were going to travel and that we would have to transfer trains at a certain station that would then take us across the Polish border east into Warsaw. But he told us that if we stayed on the first train, uh-huh. that train would then go through East Berlin and crossed the border into West Berlin.
Wow.
And so we did that, and
Border Patrol wasn't really looking at you guys closely. You don't even know what happened there, right?
Right. It's a little confusing because there's a lot of things that don't really make sense. There were soldiers with guns at the station and with dogs that were coming through the train.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at our passports, took them away. Everything took a really long time. Like the guy was gone for an hour or something. He came back, gave our passports back, and just told us to wait. And then the train started moving. And then the next thing we know, we're in West Berlin.
Without passports, though.
No, we had our passports.
Okay.
Yeah. But, it's not like our passports had a stamp in there that, yes, we can travel across the borders. So I don't really fully understand that. And that's why I'm here in Berlin trying to do a little bit more research about how the border crossing at Friedrichstraße Bahnhof works and how that could have happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea behind the podcast, to kind of like travel back the route that you've come from and look at the various passages and look at details of the story that didn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think you were a really young kid. How old were you when you were crossing the border?
With the very first time, I think I was just like 5 or 6. And then by the time we came to Germany, I was about 7. And
so you do remember some of those impressions?
I have a lot of fragments. Some of the memories were traumatic enough that they stuck with me for all these years. And so I have these memories of the places that we went through, but just like a little bit here and there. And so part of the journey is to... the reason for it is to be able to understand what exactly happened and, and it's for many reasons. Part of it is personal,
psychological reasons.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Because, that experience has stayed with me for, my whole life. And so
it's crazy, right? There's this one year where so many things happened and you can't shake it off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since 85.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, but there's other parts to it. why it's interesting to you, right?
Yes, exactly. Part of it was also that I've been doing biographical work for years now, different types of paintings and installations and sculptures that have incorporated part of that story, you know, part of this sort of immigrant refugee identity, but not in very overt and direct ways, maybe more, you know, more conceptually. Yeah. And I just got to a point where it felt necessary to be able to actually tell a story.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And time is also ticking.
You either do art or therapy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because, I mean, all that trauma kind of led you to paint, to do artworks about that. But now maybe it's time to dig a little deeper. And I think it's super interesting to go back the route that you've come from and to talk to people, because that's the idea. And I've read that you are trying to find people who helped you flee, and that you're also trying to find people who sabotaged the escape, basically.
Yeah.
So
have
you met people from back when until now? Have you already found out about some of those people?
Not a lot. Not a lot. So I went to the refugee center in Denmark, Sandholm Azov Center. And that is still operational. It's run by the Red Cross, and they were fantastic, very kind people who showed me the whole place. I even talked to some people who were there at the exact time that we were there in the 80s. You know, no one that we knew personally, because I was too young to necessarily remember specific people, but that was a very powerful experience to be able to
in
that place after 30 years.
Did you recognize parts of the building or something like that?
Wow. Absolutely. I remember, I mean, the building we lived in, that's still there. You know, the cafeteria where we used to eat, that's still there. So I got to see a lot of parts that I remembered. And then I went to Larvik, where I accessed the archive, the newspaper archive at the local paper.
Yeah, that someone wrote about you back then, right?
Yeah, they wrote an article about me specifically back in January of 88. And so I found the article in the archive, and I found the journalist who wrote it. So I talked to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was responsible for getting me to the dentist, because as an illegal immigrant, I didn't have any way to get medical
care. And
he had
a toothache.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
So it was pretty
amazing.
Those are
the things
amazing.
One remembers, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My tooth was aching, and that it was this one guy who sent me to the dentist's office.
Yeah. And so I recreated the same photo from the newspaper. It's like 30 years later. It was pretty fun.
Cool.
But also they wrote an article about me coming back and doing the project there and looking for the article.
And have you been to Poland already?
Yeah, yes, right? Yes. I started in Poland in my hometown, Wrocław, first. And I did several interviews there.
And they were research. Like, oh, the lost son has returned.
Well, I have a lot of family there.
Ah, still, okay.
Yeah, my grandparents, aunts and uncles, they live there. Mm. So I usually stay with family when I go back. But this time around, I was able to do interviews with people who could talk about the history of what was happening during that time. So, you know, just to give some exposition to the whole story when I actually go into production.
Mm. It's super interesting as well, the whole thing, because being on a flight, escaping your country, being a refugee is a topic that is super actual right now. People
Absolutely.
Are talking about that all the time. And I think it's a brilliant idea to look back at one's own history, because when one's looking far enough, everyone has a refugee history, right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing. And the other thing is, like, when one's looking at your story, for example, one can get a little more empathetic maybe towards stories of refugees, because you tell that in a detailed fashion, and one is really like, oh yeah, there were reasons for them to leave Poland. It was a communist country and it was a suppressive country, and the family situation wasn't good either, so there were a lot of reasons for that. And I think it's important that people like you, it doesn't matter from which background, tell their stories, because then one can really feel the reasons and one can really understand those people. It's not going to be some stupid, oh, the refugees, they don't have anything to do here reaction, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I think empathy is an important tool when it comes to bringing
Absolutely.
People together.
Absolutely. And then that was obviously a reason for me to start to tell the story now, also not to directly go into making commentary about what's happening with refugees right now, but to do it indirectly by telling a story that happened 30 years ago. Because I feel when you do that, when you sort of take it out of context a little bit, it removes sort of the emotional charge, and people can I think they can relate to it on a deeper level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when it's too close, it's hard to sometimes engage with that kind of material. So when you remove it a little bit, I think it gets easier. And also, it was really important for me to tell my mother's story because it is my story, but it's really, she's the protagonist.
Yeah.
And so it's important
for me. She was the one with the balls, sorry to say it like that, but she was the one with the balls to say, okay, I'm going to grab my two kids on my own. I'm going to leave this country.
Exactly. Without money, without anything really, and not even knowing where we were going to end up.
Yeah. Now the young boy is an artist in San Francisco. I love it. I love the whole story, really. Let's listen to a song before we talk a bit more. Wir hören an dieser Stelle Alex Clare mit Too Close und dann spreche ich noch ein bisschen weiter mit Michael Wisniewski über seine Podcast-Idee zum The Landless Podcast. Wir werden noch rausfinden, wie weit er damit ist und wann man das Ganze online nachlesen, hören oder sehen kann. Mehr dazu später. Hier ist zunächst Alex Clare mit Too Close. Alex Clare mit Too Close auf Flux FM. Michael Wisniewski ist immer noch bei mir im Studio. Der Mann aus San Francisco, der Künstler aus der Bay Area, der seine polnischen Wurzeln quasi wiederentdeckt hat und der einen Podcast machen will zur Flucht seiner Familie aus dem kommunistischen Polen in den 80er Jahren. Er hat für diesen Podcast per Crowdfunding Geld eingesammelt, damit er jetzt eben die einzelnen Stationen seiner Flucht, die er jetzt schon über 30 Jahre zurückliegt, nochmal abklappern kann. Und eine Station ist eben Berlin, deswegen ist er nochmal bei mir im Studio. I'm just telling people that Berlin is like a super interesting part of the whole journey because you obviously sat on a train that sent you to West Germany instead of East Germany and then back to Poland. That's the part of the story that you're researching about right now.
And that's
right. It's difficult to find out much more because even you don't know how you made it, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I've been, you know, on the phone with my mother trying to get more details out of her brain because she doesn't remember a lot, you know, all the things either. So, but I think we've narrowed it down a little bit that we must have gone through the Friedrichstrasse Bahnhof.
Yeah.
And then we took a taxi, gave the driver all the money we had for him to take us to the Flüchtlingsheim in Spandau. And so I'm trying to figure out how the train crossing worked, and I'm trying to find the building in Spandau. Maybe it's still around, I don't know. But so that's my job this week is to try to research that.
It's kind of like a scientific approach almost. It's definitely analyzing the situation once again, but you're an artist, so how inspiring is that traveling right now to you? I mean, I imagine you two kind of like draw or paint all the time because there's so much information and I think there are so many important and existential thoughts that are happening in your brain right now.
You know, actually what I found to be the most useful for me is to do a lot of writing.
Okay.
And so I sit down and just write by hand, you know, not with a computer, but writing with a pen every day in my journal just to sort of like get out all the information that's going through my brain because it's so much to process.
Yeah, and you can't put all the information into the podcast because some of your brain functions are not interesting to the reader.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I hope.
but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm treating it not just as a podcast, but also as a greater archive project.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to have just thousands of photographs. I'm going to have a lot of writing. I'm going to have audio recordings. And so there will be other work that's going to come out of this probably for years because it's so much material that it really is building an archive the historical information and just even just trying to get the facts right as with the parts that happened here.
So in the end, it's going to be basically a combination of a scientific approach, of a biography maybe, and an artwork in some ways.
It could be all those things. It could be other things too. So it's not entirely clear. The main focus right now is to get as much audio recording so that it can actually make a podcast of multiple episodes in the future.
Okay. So you're working with audio files and it's not going to be just typed. It's going to be a multimedia kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm doing field recordings. I'm doing interviews with people on location.
Yeah. And your sister was younger than you were.
She was just born.
Oh, okay, cool.
She was just born, so she was
no
a baby.
No reason to interview her.
Well, she doesn't remember that much about it. She remembers us living in Germany afterwards, uh-huh. I think more. I probably will end up interviewing her for the podcast at some point, but obviously not this part of the story.
And your mother, she was down with the plan to do that podcast from the very beginning, or was she like, oh, you know, the past is the past. Leave it be, son. We've made it to America.
Yeah, it's both of those things.
I can really imagine.
She was down with the podcast, and she wasn't necessarily excited about having to delve into it herself personally. And I think she, I don't think she fully realized what she was getting into when she said, yeah, you should do this thing. Because she's going to be the one who's going to have to talk a lot on mic and tell her stories, because obviously she remembers many things that I don't.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I have to rely on her to tell part of the story.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe it's more uncomfortable for her to look back to that time than to you, because I mean, her husband wasn't treating her nice. The situation wasn't like, oh, let's just leave the country. You know, it was. Yeah. It must have been super hard for her. And I don't think that anyone kind of like loves back that ugly feeling from way back when.
No. But you know what? That's what makes it real.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you go into the thing, the parts that are uncomfortable, that's what's going to make it, right?
Yeah. It's a bit like, Mom, I'm visiting therapy now and you're involved in some ways.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? I'm sorry, I can't shake
it
off.
True. Yeah. That's true.
That's true. So you're contacting your mom like every few days and like, oh, I found out this guy. Do you remember him?
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, being here, I actually had to call her like multiple times a day because I think of another question.
And so
I have to ask her, and I take a photo of this place, and I'm like, is this the right place?
Sweet.
You know, do you remember this? So, you know, I have to be in contact with her constantly to make sure that I'm getting some of the things right.
It's a super interesting project. How long do you think are you going to travel for the project, and how long are you going to work on it?
Well, the journey ends in middle of October.
Okay.
October 15th is when I fly back to the States. So I'll be in Germany for the rest of this month and then back to Poland to sort of tie things up a little bit, finish up some stuff. And then, you know, this is a new thing for me. I'm not an audio producer, so I've had to teach myself a lot of the skills and whatever techniques and
fade-ins. Don't forget the fade-in or it'll go.
Oh, yeah. And I imagine it's going to probably take me maybe a year to edit all the material because I want to do it right. I want to make sure that it sounds professional.
And do you have partners in crime for that, or do you have
not
to do
right
it
now.
On your own?
Not right now. It's all me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it has to be, right?
In a way, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to do the writing. I have to do the editing. And also, I have to learn how to do it. So I'm just going to keep doing it and learning as I go.
Cool. And you're trying, we've talked about that. You're trying to find people who were involved in your flight or even sabotaging your escape back then.
Well,
are you using social media for that as well, maybe?
I have tried to find some people on social media. It's actually proven to be not that helpful of a tool because apparently in Europe, social
many,
media
many
is,
Wisniewskis in well, Europe as
well. Well, there's that, but also some people just aren't on social media here.
Yeah.
And so that's actually been somewhat helpful, but not entirely. I do have some actual addresses for some people that I don't have any other way of contacting. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to go there, knock on the door, what happens, see if they're alive.
I was five when we met last time.
Yeah,
and I had a toothache. that's so interesting.
It
must be so inspiring. I think it's a really good thing that you're an artist as well, because I mean, one can do the whole scientific thing and be really correct with it, but there's so many things that are going to happen in the next few months that will have to eventually find their way into art. You know,
yes,
it's too emotional, too much stuff happening
for
it just to be scientific.
Yeah, and it is an emotional project. I mean, obviously for me, it's an emotional story for my mother. And really, I think that's what makes good radio. That's what makes good storytelling is if you get into those emotions, like you said.
Michael, it was great to be talking to you. Thank you for visiting Flux FM.
Thank you.
As soon as you think of something where you go like, oh, maybe those radio guys in Berlin, maybe they can help me with that. You let us know. We would love to be kind of like a part of the podcast idea.
Of course.
And we would love to help you. Maybe we can try finding someone in Berlin.
Well, and even if anybody knows where that building, the Flüchtlingsheim in Spandau was, because I haven't found it yet.
Okay, cool. Also, wer sich in Spandau besonders gut auskennt, we'll begin with that right now.
Great.
Wer sich in Spandau besonders gut auskennt und wer weiß, wo da Mitte der 80er Jahre ein Flüchtlingsheim gestanden haben könnte, der kann uns jetzt schon auf der Facebook-Seite schreiben, facebook.com/fluxfm. Michael Wisniewski wäre über diese Information sehr, sehr dankbar, denn er versucht, die Geschichte seiner Familie, die Geschichte der Flucht seiner Familie nochmal zusammenzubringen und diese dann, die Ergebnisse zusammenzufassen im Podcast, der The Landless heißen wird. Eine sehr, sehr spannende Geschichte, über die wir hier gerne gesprochen haben. Until we see the final results, it's going to be a little while. But people are going to put the Landless podcast into their Google search for a few times each day from now on until it's there.
Excellent.
Okay, Michael, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Und
it's been a pleasure.
Wer weiß, wie und wo Flüchtlinge untergebracht worden sind in Spandau in den 80er Jahren, der schreibt uns einfach eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de oder ihr kontaktiert uns via Facebook oder Twitter. Wir würden uns freuen. Thank you. Bye-bye, Michael.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Say hi to your mother and your sister from us.
I will.
Bye.